Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason, here's the most important question. Do you, when you do your final thoughts, do you pick the number? No, this is good. This is good. It's all good. Do you pick the number first and then write those many things? Or do you write your thoughts and then pick the number?
Yeah, I just write till I got nothing else to say. Then I
find then you go with the number
and match it up. Yeah, no, just some nights I'm more motivated than others, and write more than others.
Because I'm reading it. And I'm always like, I wonder why he picked this number today.
You know, if it's less than 30, Jason's tired.
That's exactly right. There's some nights I just don't have the fastball. So,
well, it's a must read, matter how many thoughts it is, and we appreciate you joining us, Jace. So. How much of this first four games is, or maybe more importantly, the last two, is just the home court versus the Cavs have found something?
We'll find out tonight.
Yeah, I think you're right.
How's that for an answer?
Yeah.
I thought the Cavs were better defensively. They were more physical, which is what they need to be. That's how they beat the Warriors a couple years ago, is by roughing them up and being more physical. But, you know, Boston, I also thought, made some really dumb decisions with the ball. And I think that is just young kids being in a hostile environment and not knowing how to react to the situation. So we'll see tonight how much of the Cavs was really sort of figuring things out defensively and how much was just Boston's nerves. I like the Cavs' odds. You know, I've said all along, first of all, I've always said no predictions this postseason. I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. But I thought whoever won game four was going to win the series, and I'm sticking to that. For the Cavs to get it back to 2-2 is absolutely huge. So regardless of what happens tonight, I think I like the Cavs' odds to win this series.
Do you think that the Cavs will be at all tired tonight, Jason, after, you know, they had the 3 days off, then they had the two games, exerted a lot of energy, and now it's kind of a quick turnaround here on the road?
No more so than usual. I think it's a short flight. That helps.
Yeah.
You know, I think these guys have, you know, LeBron said today, we've been playing every other day since March, it feels like, and really they kind of have. With a few exceptions here and there, but I think that they're the only ways that I think you might be able to make that argument is just because, you know, Tyus seems to be cutting back his rotation a little bit more. He finally gave up on Rodney Hood a couple nights ago. It looks like Jordan Clarkson got his minutes cut way back, so he's really down to about an 8-man rotation, which really it should be. I mean, Kyle Korver is the only reserve right now that I think you can count on. Who more nights than not is going to, you know what you're going to get out of him. Larry Nance has been fine. You know, I thought Larry's been good all year. He was just in a number squeeze when Kevin was starting at center and Tristan was ahead of him. There was no room for him in the rotation. But now with Tristan starting, there's a spot for him. So he's fine. And, you know, Jeff Green, some nights he's great. Some nights he's on another planet.
Yeah.
So that's really what their rotation is down to. So you might be able to make that argument of rest just because they're playing less guys, but I think they'll be fine.
Jason, I know you have a pretty good relationship with Ty Lue, but the other day, was it after game one where you asked him about why Rodney Hood was still in the rotation and he kind of like cursed?
Yeah,
what was up with that?
So it's funny. You know, a lot of people have asked about that, and I do have a great relationship with Ty, and Ty and I actually hashed that out the other night.
Good.
There are moments where, like, I can walk with him. First of all, the podium is so fake. The podium is about 2% of what we actually do.
Okay.
So it looks good on TV, but it's not how we actually do our jobs.
Right.
So, a lot of times I can walk down the hall with Ty, and I'd given Ty grief in the past about playing Rodney as much as he was. And I think that's why he was so upset, was because we've talked about that off camera plenty. But I knew what I was going to write that night. I knew I needed an on-the-record quote from him, and I knew the best way to do it was to just ask him at the podium where he had to answer it.
Right.
What I wrote after game two was specifically, strictly about the trade. The Kyrie trade has been a disaster. There's no way around it. It has been a complete disaster. That had nothing to do, it had no bearing on the series. I even wrote, the Cavs can come back in the series and make this a series again. It had nothing to do with their odds of winning the series. It was strictly about the Kyrie trade, and Rodney obviously was a big piece of that Kyrie trade eventually. and the Jay Crowder deal. So they've just it's really fascinating that the Cavs have even gotten to this point, because they're doing it in spite of the Kyrie trade. They're getting no contribution from anyone as part of that deal, and yet here they are right back where they were a year ago.
Jason Lloyd is with us from The Athletic. Jason, this morning LeBron seemed a little bit swirly, or whatever you want to call it. He's like a little bit short with some of his answers, and he's got the hood on, looked a little bit focused. I kind of liked it. I think he knows how important this game is tonight. I think you'll have a sense of urgency. Did you get that too?
I stopped reading into his mannerisms and his body language.
Damn it, Jason, I need some confidence now. I mean, I need something. I'm trying to sell myself on this. You're not helping me.
Well, I'm just saying, he changes with the way the wind blows. You can't really pay any attention to if it's serious LeBron or focused LeBron or happy LeBron or surly LeBron. They're all – it doesn't matter. You know, of course, yes, tonight's an important game. No question about it. You know, I think what I started to say earlier, and I think I lost my train of thought, was – the odds for me, the odds are much greater that LeBron is going to come in here and win a game on the road than those young kids going to Cleveland and winning a game on the road. Yeah. And that's why I thought getting it back to 2-2 was so pivotal. Now it's a best of three, and yeah, two of them are on the road, but he has no fear of coming into this building and winning a game seven if it comes to that. You know, I would expect him to try to come out a little bit aggressive tonight, try and take the crowd out of it early. You know, they say momentum doesn't carry from one game to the other in the playoffs, but the Cavs have won two in a row, and if they can get this one tonight, you know, you certainly like their odds of closing it out in six. So I would expect an aggressive LeBron early on. Now, having said that, he'll probably finish the first quarter with 3 points and three assists. But I don't read into how he acts and behaves at shoot-around is how he's going to play in the game.
Jason, yesterday I said that, and I can't believe I said this based on where we were at the end of the regular season, that not including LeBron, obviously, I trust right now, watching the games, I have more faith in Tristan Thompson doing his job than any other non-LeBron Cavalier. Is that, are you buying or selling that statement by me?
I will, let me think about that for 1 second.
Yeah.
I still might put Kevin in front of that. I know Kevin was awful the other night, but I understand where you're coming from, and I don't think you're crazy. Because first of all, what the Cavs need out of Tristan is to just play hard.
Right.
And he's going to do that every night. He's going to play hard every night. He's going to make life miserable on Al Horford every night. He's going to perform his task and do his job every night. And really the key for him, I was talking about this morning. I'm working on something. The Cavs play these 5-on-5 games. It's guys who are out of the rotation and a bunch of young guys like John Holland and London Perantes, and then a couple of the support staff guys. And a couple of different players I've talked to felt like those 5-on-5 games early in the mornings is what got Tristan back into shape. Because number one, you know, I've had a lot of people say he just wasn't healthy this year. The calf injury was a really big deal, more so than I think people realized. And then he wasn't in shape. So he's healthy now and he's back in shape because of those 5-on-5 games that they played. That really helped get him back to being the Tristan of old. And that's the Tristan that we've seen. That's a game changer. That style of Tristan can win you ball games in the postseason, because offensive rebounds are gold to me. Like, the chance to extend a possession is backbreaking for a defense. When you defend and defend and defend for 18, 19, 20, 21 seconds, they miss a shot, and then you got him coming in and getting a rebound and reset it and do it all over again, that is crushing to an opponent. So I think he plays a pivotal role between the way he can defend and the way he can offensive rebound. And it's a big piece of what they were missing when he wasn't playing well. So I still would put Kevin, I think above Tristan, but I understand what you're saying.
Do you think the fact that also that he essentially didn't play the Indiana series except for game seven has him maybe a little fresher than some of the other guys?
Well, I think down the stretch, he really didn't play much.
Yeah, right.
Toward the end of the regular season. He had, I think, an ankle, even after the Cavs, he had an ankle injury that kept him out. This is, you know, you're talking about the guy with the franchise record for most consecutive games played. He's never played less in a season than he has played this year. And I think you're bearing the fruit of that now. Because there was times, you know, the last couple of years where he was just exhausted. You could tell he was just worn down toward the end of the season, but he refused to come out because he had the streak on the line. And I think it became more of a hindrance than a help for him. And he's kind of acknowledged that lately, that, hey, you know, I probably should have sat earlier, but, you know, I want to keep the streak going. And for a guy, you know, he's never going to go to an All-Star game. He's never going to the Hall of Fame. That was a big deal to him, and I understand why. But it also cost him at times in the postseason in years past where he just wasn't as fresh and his legs weren't as bouncy. That's not the case now. He's very fresh. He's got good bounce in his legs again. He was having a hard time getting back defensively on switches. He couldn't keep guards in front of him before, and that's not the case. Now he's back to playing like the Tristan of old.
Jason, do we expect any lineup changes from Boston tonight? I know some people have speculated that maybe Baines would get back in the rotation or as a starter.
Yeah, I kind of thought that for four, that they may do that. And you know, I was wrong because I thought that putting Baines in would force Tristan to switch onto Baines and get him off of Horford. But the numbers indicate otherwise, that even when Baines is in the game with Horford, the Cavs are just ignoring it and leaving Tristan on Horford and making Kevin wrestle Baines. So they're not going away from that matchup. No matter what Boston does, the Cavs are not going away from Tristan on Horford because he's had such good success. Now, the problem comes in when the Cavs triangle small. That's when Tristan sometimes gets locked into Baines. But at the start of games, there's really nothing Boston can do with their starting lineup that's going to get Tristan off of Horford, and I think that's why Brad is just sticking with it, with what he's got.
Jason, you were on the starting lineup with Scalabrine and Isola this morning, right?
Yeah, I was. Good call.
Yeah, I missed it. I put it on. You must have just been on because David Griffin was on, I guess, after you, and he referenced you. Very complimentary. He was like, yeah, Jason Lloyd was right on with his take on Larry Nance. So I didn't know you would be.
I got one.
Yeah. Hey, he gave you some love on that one. But, you know, David Griffin is so good as an analyst. I really enjoy listening to him. Is he happy? I mean, I don't know how much contact you have with him, but you know him better than I do. So do you think he's happy being an analyst, or, you know, are you surprised he's not a GM again?
I think he's got the itch to get back. Okay. I would say I'm probably mildly surprised, I guess, that he's not back in yet. GMs who are former players get more chances than guys who are not. Just history just kind of shows if you played in the league, you get more shots, more bites at the apple than guys who didn't. But the fact that he won a championship and kind of went out on top certainly would lend, you know, that he would probably get another chance if he so wants. But, you know, he's choosy. Right now he's living, you know, he's in Sonoma. He's living in wine country, and he's loving life. And his wife is really getting into the wines, and, you know, he's enjoying where he's at. So I think he can be choosy about his next job. And if it's not the ideal situation for him, then I think he's content to do what he's doing. But, you know, I think the competitive nature of him, he'd like to get back in.
Jason, you think they're going to win tonight? I mean, are you kind of unsure too?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up, Dustin.
Well, I'm not breaking up. You're breaking up. I'm on the radio. No, I'm kidding. Jason, do you think they're going to win, or do you have any feel at all for tonight?
You know, I really don't have a feel. I really thought they were going to win three. I had no real feel for four. I just felt like it was the game they had to get if they're going to win the series. I think probably if I had to make a choice, I would probably say Cavs tonight, and then they close it out in six at home. But it's not a very strong feeling. You know, I could see Boston coming out here and blowing them out in the first quarter and having this thing get away from them again. That wouldn't surprise me at all. It kind of goes back to what I've said about this entire postseason. No real predictions because they could go out in the first round, they could go to the finals. Nothing would surprise me with this team, and they've kind of lived up to that.
You know, seeing what happened out west last night with the Rockets tying that up and, you know, knowing that, who knows, maybe that thing could get pushed to seven. Is there does LeBron pay attention to that? Like, would LeBron go into this, like, man, we get this thing done in six, we get ourselves an extra, you know, 4 days or whatever it is?
Well, there is no move update regardless. The finals begin when they begin. I think it's May 31st this year.
Yep.
So there is no move up regardless if both conference finals are a sweep. It doesn't matter. They're not going to bump it up at all. So not so much what's going on in the West has anything to do with it. But sure, you know, I think – you know, there's blood in the water when you win two in a row and you know you're coming back home for six. I think there's blood in the water for five. You know, I was talking to a couple of players in the locker room after four and said, I think you could wrap this in six. And the common thought was, yeah, because we're not going to lose at home. We're not going to lose six at home. So if we can just get five, we can finish them off in six. You know, obviously, even if they lose, that's why even if they lose tonight, I don't think it's panic mode by any means, because you're coming home for six. And then, you know, in 2016, I kept saying, I'll take my odds with LeBron on the road. I don't care who's on the other side. And obviously that's how it worked out. And even though this team is not as talented as that championship team, this Cavs team, that's not the Warriors on the other side either. So I certainly like LeBron's odds, like I said earlier, to win a game on the road a little bit more than Boston's odds of trying to go to Cleveland and get one. That's why, to me, game four was so crucial.
Jason, great insight as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.